Our text this morning is 2 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. 2 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. What did David know about the grace of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your marvelous mercy and grace. David knew a lot about it. He needed a lot of it in his own life. And we learn today he knew how to give graciously to others. Help us understand a little bit more about how gracious you are, that we might be a little more like you today. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves to give us things. Romans 8:32, he freely gives us all things. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Romans 6:23, he has given us the gift of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:57, he has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:22, he gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6, he gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he has given us good hope through grace. In fact, everything God has given us has been through his grace. Grace is the divine vehicle through which God gives us or transfers things from himself to us. Romans 5:15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. For example, salvation is given to us by the grace of God. You know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is, it says, the gift of God. The grace of God is like a box. We receive gifts for our birthday and Christmas, and they're wrapped all up nice and pretty. Somebody asks you what you got for Christmas. You say, oh, I got a beautifully wrapped box. Is that what you say? No, you talk about what was inside the box. And grace is like a box. There are all kinds of things inside the box of the grace of God. There's mercy, there's salvation, there's hope, there's peace, there's joy, there's the fruits of the Spirit, there are spiritual gifts. There are all kinds of things in the grace of God that he gives to us. David often mentioned in the Psalms about God's love for giving. Psalm 18, verse 35, he says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Psalm 18:50, great deliverance giveth he to the king. Psalm 21, verse 2, thou hast given him his desire. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And on he speaks in the Psalms of how God gives many things. This is probably why David had a bit of a heart of giving himself. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. And it says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, with this intent, that I may show kindness, may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. He suspects that perhaps Jonathan had a child, and remember, Jonathan and he got along very well together, but still, he mentions the house of Saul. We'll see some evidence, even in this passage, that David did not take vengeance against the house of Saul at all. Remember, it wasn't David's fault that Saul's son Ishbosheth was killed. That was orchestrated by one of his own, Ishbosheth's own men. It says here in verse 2, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, it's interesting that a servant from the house of Saul is known and available. He didn't come forward and volunteer this information. He was contacted and brought forth, it says. But we're going to discover, and I think there's sufficient evidence to see that this servant, Ziba, was actually taking care of all of that which had been the land and possessions of King Saul himself, and that he was doing quite well at it. Verse 3, the king said, is there not yet, and he's speaking to Ziba, this supposed servant of King Saul, is there not yet of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God in him? So it's not just David's kindness that he wants to show, but it's God's kindness that he wants to show. Kindness is an action concept. Kindness, of course, requires a certain attitude, but kindness is an action. When you are kind to someone, you do something for them. You do good things for them. And David wants to do something. He doesn't just want to say something. He wants to do something. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. Now, this servant of Saul knows where this person is, this son of Jonathan. Lodabar is on the other side of the Jordan River in the territory, the region of Manasseh. Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh and half tribe of Gad or something like that. One of them was half a tribe. On the other side of Jordan, not in the actual promised land. So he's not even located close to Jerusalem. In fact, he's about 75 miles away. But this servant, who apparently is living in the palace of King Saul, taking care of the lands, we're going to find out that he has 20 servants himself, doing quite well, knows where this person is, and apparently hasn't done anything about it. Verse 5 of chapter 9, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar, a journey of about 75 miles. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. Mephibosheth is very humble. He's not arrogant at all. He doesn't have the attitude of his grandfather, Saul. He's very humble and very humbled by the fact that David has called him to him. Why didn't Ziba bring this young man here? Verse 7, David said unto him, first, fear not. Don't worry. I'm not going to harm you. Everything is going to be okay. Secondly, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Thirdly, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Fourth, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually, by implication in the king's house. And Mephibosheth continues to be humble, verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon him such as a dead dog as I am? Very humble, very humble. Verse 9, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant. Ziba was the servant of Saul who told David about Mephibosheth. David informed Ziba that he was granting Mephibosheth all of the possessions, the property that had previously been owned by Saul. Verse 9 continues, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. David is a king of justice, remember. King of justice. It's not right that a servant have 20 servants and possess the property of King Saul. And so he gives it to Mephibosheth, and he returns Ziba to his rightful position of a servant. Verse 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. Well, what's he going to do? King has ordered him to do this. He doesn't have a choice. As for Mephibosheth, he says, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So that's a mouthful to say that name over and over again. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. Now, just a reminder, that's what he did for Mephibosheth, but reminder about something that we talked about the last time. Remember, the Ammonites were enemies of the Israelites. I mean, Mephibosheth was part of Saul's family. Saul was one of David's enemies, but he treated Mephibosheth very, very well. The Ammonites were enemies of the Israelites. In 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 47, Saul had a battle with the Ammonites and fought against them. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, David had a conflict with the Ammonites. And in spite of this, 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Remember this, then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servant of his father. It was very nice of David to want to do this. Now, these are incidents that are in the chronology of the life of David as we've been going through them, which I want to take the occasion of and talk to you about this matter of what David understood about the grace of God and what he understood about God's mercy, because it's very important for us to understand those two things. Psalm 23, verse 6 should be very familiar verse to you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 25, verse 7. Psalm 25, verse 7. These are things that David wrote in the Psalms. We're looking at the heart of David, Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Verse 10 of the same psalm, Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And Psalm 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Do you ever have trouble? Do you ever have hard times, difficulties in your life? Look what it says. God actually thinks about your trouble. That's pretty neat. That's an expression from way back when I was a young man. I don't know what the expression is now, but I think it's pretty neat. Whenever we're having a difficult time, God is thinking about it. And David understood that. This is David saying this. Thou hast considered my trouble, David says. And because I know that you're thinking about what I'm going through when I'm having difficult times, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. About 100 times, David refers to the mercy of God in the Psalms. And a lot of those references are in Psalm 136. We read part of that earlier in the service. But 100 times he refers to the mercy of God because David was a person who needed a lot of mercy. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you need a lot of mercy? Because a lot of the trouble that you're in is your own fault. So glad that God is merciful. Here lies the heart of the gospel, the mercy and the grace of God. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We often describe mercy as God keeping from us what we deserve. What is it we actually deserve? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our condition. And as a result of being a sinner, Romans 6:23, what does it say? The wages of sin is what? Death. That's what we deserve. And death is the eternal separation from God in a place of torment. Look in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, where it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be separated from God. But that's not a pleasant thing, is it, to be separated from God? Because God is light, and to be separated from God is to be steeped in darkness. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22-23. This is an amazing thing that Jesus says. Here are people who claim they have done things in the name of Jesus. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? The problem with this is they're using the name of Jesus as a means of profiting for themselves. It wasn't that they really, really believed in Jesus. They just used it as a prop. And what does Jesus say in verse 23? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Do you understand how intense those words are? If Jesus says, depart from me. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. And that's exactly what the mercy of God keeps from us. Wow. But in exchange for simple faith in Jesus Christ, God's mercy keeps all of this away from us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And then there's the grace of God. And while we describe the mercy of God as keeping from us what we actually deserve, grace is the opposite, giving to us what we really don't deserve. And what has he given to us? Let me go through this quickly. 1 Corinthians 1:4, the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, God hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, he's given the earnest of the Spirit, which is the down payment, a guarantee of what else is to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. 2 Peter 1:3, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Can you imagine? We don't deserve any of those things. And yet by the grace of God, we have them all. David understood both the mercy of God and the grace of God. He was willing to be gracious and merciful even to those who had been his enemies. And this was the resource that he needed when he would become his own worst enemy. That's coming next in our study. Yes, we often are our own worst enemy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 refers to those who oppose themselves. Did you ever oppose yourself? That is, you do things that are not profitable for yourself, that are not good for yourself. You actually are harming yourself by your own activities. So many people in this world are opposing themselves, but the power of the mercy and grace of God is greater than the power of sin in our lives. Do you hear that? The power of the mercy and grace of God is greater than the power of sin in our lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. The poet Wilbur Chapman said, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater. Yes, grace untold points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Do you have the grace of God today? It's powerful. The mercy of God is amazing. If you haven't received the mercy and grace of God, today is the day to receive Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the heart of David who understood these things and whom you used to communicate some of this to us. And in other parts of your word, we learn how marvelous your mercy and grace are. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here in this place this day that has not yet received Christ as their Savior and had your mercy and grace flow into their lives, anyone who might be listening to this message by recording, touch their hearts this day. Bring them to faith in Christ that they might know your mercy and your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.